Congratulations! You're listening to Congratulations Pine Tree, the base number one arts and culture podcast with me, Kate Rhodes.
And me, Maysoon Wazwaz.
I don't know how this machine works anymore.
We have revisited our mixing board.
We're back at Maysoon's house. Maysoon has her new job. We're back at Maysoon's house.
I built out a new studio for us. It's fancy. It's floating over a small lake.
I saw a picture of Kunstcapade's studio. They have a legit studio.
Shut the fuck up.
With fucking painted wall and like so cool. I wish we could be on their show because I really want to meet Merv Robin. I think her real name's Robin.
Well, I'm sure you could invite yourself on their show.
No.
We had talked about doing a potential collaboration with them, but
I'm teaching a class, as you know, at SFAI, and everyone keeps talking to me about Kunstcapades.
Oh, really?
Like, when are you going to do stuff with Kunstcapades? Anyway, Maysoon, you're back from Mexico.
Yeah, I just took a little vacay over in Mexico City. It's really not that far, actually. It's kind of the same distance as from San Francisco to Chicago. It's like a 4-hour flight. We went to the Frida Kahlo Museum, which I'd never been to, even though I've been to Mexico and to Mexico City many times. I'd never been to that particular museum.
Do some formal analysis.
Of the experience or of an artwork? How about of the experience?
Okay.
The line was long. There were shades of blue and green and some grays and black. There were...
In the line?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
There were small droplets of red. People were wearing shoes with red. And the sun was brightly shining. Okay. And then...
What color?
I think it was more of like a shadowy, maybe, you know how suns have that weird color? It's sort of a bluish yellow.
Whoa.
You know, that early morning
like
sun.
Like a green?
No, not quite green. Still yellow, but with a blue tinge.
Okay.
Okay.
Skipping green altogether.
It was a smooth surface, though.
All right.
Not too textured. Actually, quite textured.
Were you staring into the sun?
The people were textured.
Right.
Okay, so I wasn't looking directly at the sun. I was looking at the reflection of the sun on people.
Sure enough.
and then I would say the first room, and now I'm losing track of my visual analysis techniques and skills.
Uh-huh, go ahead.
The first room was full of people still, and some artworks there. That was like the room of early paintings. Actually, I think that room was probably the strongest or the most interesting. The work in that room was the most interesting.
Like, you got...
Oh, God, there was this one piece. It was totally crazy. I wish I could remember the name of it, but it was a circular wooden frame with a ball at the top. It looked like a fucking clitoris. I was like, what the hell?
Right,
it was amazing.
Uh-huh, vagina frame.
Vagina frame.
I have never seen that.
I could not take a picture, but if there was one picture I was going to take inside, it would have been of that frame.
Couldn't you do a quick sketch of it?
I just didn't think about it. I don't think that way.
Hmm.
I wish I did. That's such a good idea.
Do some little sketcherooties next
Little
time.
Sketcherooties. We went to see a couple of Diego Rivera murals. Oh my God, we went to this crazy... It was the most ridiculous museum in the fucking world. It's like one of those museums that someone who has way too much money just like has built for themselves, and they know nothing about like a museum. It was crazy. It was so crazy. It was a huge monstrosity out in the middle, like where highways intersect. You know what I mean? It was like so far out of, it was like outside of Puebla, actually. So not, which is pretty close to Mexico City, but not Mexico City. Very new museum, hyper modern design, sort of white stucco walls, like wisping, almost like a Frank Gehry style, but like white stucco. And then you walk inside and it's like the ceilings are, it's like a fucking airplane hangar. It's enormous. It's enormous and it's very cold. And then you go into the galleries and they're like these huge like exhibition designy displays with like vinyl on the walls and like pictures on, you know what I mean, like pictures of paintings and not actually paintings. Like,
whoa, that sounds like the International Art Museum of America.
Totally.
I wish I could have seen it.
There were actually paintings, but anyhow, this place was so fucking enormous. You would go into one gallery and it'd wind you around and be like, all these crazy paintings, and then it would like completely shift subject matter and like completely different decades, and you're like, what the fuck is going on here? And then you'd go into the next gallery, be a whole different thing. And there were like seven enormous galleries of like, one gallery was actually just a full scale, not full scale, but like a huge model of the city of Puebla. And there was like a video playing and the lights in the town would light up as the video was talking about different buildings.
I fucking love that.
It was totally fucking weird.
Jimbo, how much was admission?
I don't remember, but
you had to pay.
Art admission or museum admission in Mexico is generally pretty affordable. It's like $2 or something for any major museum.
Fuck.
Very affordable. To the point where it's like I didn't use my SF MoMA ID because I was like, it's just $2. I'm happy to get this to you. I don't need to come in for free. Whatever, you know?
Take a page of that book, SF MoMA.
Yeah, exactly. So it was just like such a bizarre. I'll try to send you a link. I'll send you a link for the.
Oh, well, send me the link and I'll put podcast. It in the underworld.
Definitely, I would say like not worth a trip.
Just for that,
unless you are.
May soon sounds like the best shit I've ever heard of. Have you ever been to Hannibal?
No, but that reminds me of Silence of the Lambs, and it kind of freaks me out.
Oh, well, it's where Mark Twain is from, and they have all these like that's it, that's all it is, and so they have like his childhood home, and they have like weird mannequins, or you put a quarter in, and they talk.
they like read stories of Twain for you.
It's kind of like a tourist trap, you kind of. But I love stuff like that.
Okay. Oh, the one other great thing about, so this place is huge. The galleries are enormous. We're all like, is this over yet? What's going on? There were so many videos because they didn't have enough artwork to actually fill the space. So it's just like all these interactive design kind of situations. It was so bizarre. But then they have this outdoor courtyard, which is like this beautiful stone. Everything is like stark white. I mean, it's just like so bizarre, like the mix of the two. And there was a fucking whirlpool pond.
Did it whirl?
Huge.
How do you even make that?
I don't fucking know.
With jets?
It made me kind of nervous. I was like, what if someone fell in? What would happen? Would they get sucked
down into the center of the earth?
I don't know.
Huh.
Maybe interesting. Anyhow, guys, if you are interested in the Rococo or just some really bizarre museums, hop on down. Link will be included in the underworld.
So you also started a new job now.
I started a new job. Yeah. After just about a year, I moved on from SF MoMA and had started a new position at the San Francisco Arts Commission Galleries as their manager of education and public programs.
You really were official just now.
I know.
Do you have an ID?
I don't have an ID. I have not finished my HR paperwork.
May soon.
Well, no fucking kidding.
Do your paperwork.
Well,
you have to bring in your passport.
Oh, yeah. Actually, thanks for reminding me. I have to bring it
tomorrow.
Don't
forget. You're a city employee now.
I'm a city employee now.
So, like, San Francisco tax dollars pay your salary.
Probably.
So all.
Thanks, everyone.
So all San Francisco taxpayers can call you at home?
Yeah, give me a call. Don't call me at home. Just call me at work. That's more appropriate, right? Like work hours, guys.
Speaking of civic duties.
Yes.
You also went into the airport protest.
I went to the airport protest. That was.
I couldn't make it out. I was so happy. I was so grateful that people were doing it.
Tons of people there. There were so many families there. There were so many children. It was just like a very, very mixed, incredible crowd. It was. There were just no, I mean, I don't know. It was kind of incredible. There were lawyers everywhere. The lawyers, like, you know, where they're sitting in a cluster on their laptops, desperately trying to get, you know, information out to people who are being detained. There was tons of food. Like, there was so much support for the protesters and for the lawyers and the people who were, like, spending hours and hours and days there.
Yeah. They're talking about having another enormous march on tax day.
Yeah. We should go do that.
I'm down for any enormous march.
I kind of just want to march
Trump.
All the time.
Yeah. And there's also, they're organizing a march for science. There's all these events and I don't have a thing.
Do you want my phone?
Thursday, Sharon Hayes and...
Oh. Fuck.
Mimi Tai Nguyen are going to be speaking at UC Berkeley, I think at 5 o'clock, at Durham Theater. How I just memorized that because I announced that to my students.
Oh, good for you. So it was in there. It was in there.
And they're going to be doing a talk about like art and activism and public resistance and, you know, Sharon Hayes is all over that always.
Yeah.
Also, Southern Exposure is having a bunch of cool stuff with like Chicago police torture.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They have this great group coming in.
Just check out their website.
There's also,
I have a link in the underworld.
There's also an event happening at Mills if any of you are going to be out in that area on Thursday also. It's a project organized by Ingrid Rojas Contreras of the 100 Days Action Group, and it's called Not My Precedent. And it's addressing the sort of similar actions that Trump is taking in relation to, or the similar storyline happening with Trump and immigrants and especially Muslims with like the registry and how it relates back to the Japanese internment. And so there's some really interesting speakers or it's a panel discussion, obviously. What's your advice for people who are feeling a little bit nervous about calling their senators, maybe feeling like they're not fully informed or
what? We need to talk to them. Should we call them? Should we call them up? It doesn't matter. Just whatever your thing is. You don't have to go into a long like academics lecture on the voicemail. I've been calling Dianne Feinstein a shit ton about cabinet like DeVos,
yeah,
and Sessions, because it's voting popping for off. So I just call up and I'm like, hey, don't do it.
Hey, I'm Kate Rhodes. Don't do it.
Kate Rhodes 94611.
Oh yeah, you do your zip code.
Don't do it. I mean, I say what I don't want her to do, yeah, but I don't go into a whole thing of like, is what he did in 1968.
Right.
This is what he did in 1969. You know what I mean?
So do you have those on like redial?
Yeah, I have them. I need to add them. Dial on my phone.
Oh, speed dial. Excuse
well,
me.
My phone only has one dial, but
it's gone back.
I
to
downgraded
the past.
My phone and yep, got them all saved. Got both my senators, my U.S. Representative Barbara Lee. I don't have it now, but on my old phone I had the governor's office, the mayor. Yeah.
Someone posted numbers to the White House earlier today on Facebook.
Well, but didn't he shut it down?
I don't know.
People have been calling Trump Tower and shit because they couldn't get into anything. Man, that's horrible for people that don't think they can call in. You don't have to be an expert. You're a citizen. You're an expert already in being a citizen.
I can understand why it would feel slightly intimidating. You're calling some politician. They're like,
you're not going to talk to the politician. You know, we got to start going to their office hours. We got to up our game.
Well, there's a few actions happening in front of Dianne Feinstein's house.
Yeah.
Which I think there's one happening maybe this weekend that I'm interested in going to.
And they have, but they also have like time where you can go meet with them. There's that. Also, if people get on swingleft.org, you can find the nearest congressional district that was a close race where a Republican won. To start working on that. I'm sure if you live in the Bay Area, the closest one to you is probably Congressional District 10, California District 10, which
Where is that?
Modesto's like right in the middle of it. Mm. So like out east.
Farmland.
And I think it's so funny because I see lots of people from the Bay Area posting that website.
Okay.
And then being like, here's my district that's the closest swing district, and it's that one because we are all in the same place.
Yeah, we're all here.
So I'm like, what's gonna happen in congressional district 10 in the coming years with all these hippies,
a bunch of us
rolling
hippies
out to
like,
farm
yo.
country?
Well,
I think it could be cool because, and there's also that website is really legit. Get on their newsletter and stuff because they'll send you like there's like message boards where people are talking about what like what are good steps we can take now before there's even a candidate.
Yeah, that's good.
And I think one thing that I thought, I mean, just my own idea was to just go out and start registering voters. And then there's the Indivisible, which was that like guide that was made by like congressional staffers. That was the one where it's like you need to call. Calling is the best way.
Yeah, I remember that.
And all that.
I forget her name.
And
like
they
Emma
called
something.
Them mocks, members of Congress. I always thought that was funny.
Mocks.
But anyhow, there's groups forming now. indivisible groups. There's like a East Bay indivisible
group. Oh, cool.
And so they have meetings, and that's another way.
Okay.
But I also, you know, I know I've said this before, but I also feel like there are Democratic Party groups you also could get involved with. Mm-hmm. Print out the platform, print out the Green Party platform, look at them side by side. I promise you they are not that different. It's just the execution needs some help. And we gotta keep track of these motherfucking senators and how fucking fucked up they are.
Democrats included.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Okay, I'm like,
I think Dianne Feinstein's been super disappointing.
Yeah. Oh my God, yeah.
Right? My favorite politics podcast was called Election Profit Makers with Starley Kine and
weird.
David Rees. And David Rees, at the end of it, made this mixtape. And he's got a new mixtape coming out for like the resistance mixtape.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to play a little clip of it right now.
Oh, nice.
Okay, so that podcast, if you want to hear the full mixtape, is called Election Profit Makers.
Get high.
Up in smoke.
Chill the fuck
out. I'd like to put an advertisement out for a dispensary that I am invested in, and that would be Bloom in Oakland on Grand Avenue.
Oh.
Very near Aggregate Space. Go to Bloom, get your vaporizer or whatever.
What do you mean you're invested in it?
I'm invested in several American and Canadian weed stocks.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Since when?
I can't believe you don't know about this. I've been invested in various weed stocks for over a year.
Oh, that's why I don't know.
On E-Trade.
How's it going?
I have to have talked to you
never.
Ask anyone who knows me if I'm invested in weed stocks. They'll be like, she never shuts up about it.
I believe you. I just never heard about it until this
moment. If anybody wants
moment.
Investment advice about different weed stocks you can buy in the U.S. and Canada... Canadian weed
stocks
are where the
here?
Real money's at. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you
I think
seen
my best one is like $1.40.
Hey, now.
Yeah.
So you've seen them improve or increase in value?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Wow.
I've already sold some off and made a small profit.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Like how small? Tell me more.
Like $60.
Wow.
This one, K's.
K-A-Y-S,
which owns Kaya Shack in Oregon, a dispensary chain in Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
That stock is up 200%.
200%?
200%.
Too
from
bad.
Where I bought it. I bought it for 8 cents a share. It's over 30 cents a share.
So
now.
Are you doing this as a way to make money, or are you
yeah.
doing this as a way to just sort of observe how the market moves?
No, I'd love to make a lot of money.
So why buy penny shares?
Because they're cheap.
Because they're cheap. Because that's what you can afford.
Uh-huh.
Got it.
Yeah.
Did you take that $60 and invest it in something more expensive?
I invested it in some Canadian weed stocks.
Oh my God, I love it.
Uh-huh.
How did you decide which stocks to invest in?
I go on Reddit. I go to weed stocks, the Reddit weed stock subreddit, and I talk to strangers on the internet who seem like they know what they're talking about.
Oh my God. Amazing.
There's a lot of hype around some of these Canadian stocks, and the big ones are CGC, Cannabis Growth Corporation, and Aurora Cannabis.
Oh.
Uh-huh. But the Canadian, and note to listeners, the Canadian and American stock symbols are different.
Oh.
If you're American trading on the American market, it's a different, you know, all the how there are a bunch of letters. TWMJF, that's the one you want to invest
in. Not NASDAQ?
No, no. It's on the, I don't know, is that NASDAQ?
I don't know.
I don't know what the fuck
Dow Jones?
I don't know what market it's on, but the one you really want to invest in, the stock you really want to invest in, TWMJF. That's the one. Look it up. Buy a million shares of it as fast as you can. Wow. It's going to be the Starbucks of weed.
Oh my God. Why weed?
Because it's like so nascent. It's like
cusp.
In the tiniest stage. It's only seeds. No pun intended. But, you know, the ones that are going to be the IBM of weed are still affordable to buy stock in. Yeah. I mean, there's like pharmaceutical companies that make weed.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I know nothing about the stock market. It completely baffles me.
It's gambling. This is why I love gambling.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? Because you're just like, like you can open
Have
your
you
thing
always...
one day and you'd be like, I made $30 today.
Damn.
Yeah.
So do you check it obsessively?
Yep.
Oh my God. I think we need to have like a stock market corner on the podcast for you.
This is not a good idea for artists that are hoping for a future security.
I don't know.
It's
it sounds like
risk,
you're working it.
Highly volatile.
So if you're young, go for it.
That's what they say. When you're young, take
That's
the high
totally
risk.
That's totally what they say. Take high risk because you've got time to earn
knows.
It back.
If you invested in Starbucks in 1997, if you invested like $500, you'd have made like tens of thousands of dollars.
I know. I wish my mom had. She loves coffee.
I mean, I'm not down with Starbucks, although they are doing this thing now where they said that they're going to hire refugees.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
No.
And all the Trumpeteers are boycotting them.
Fuck them. Fuck them.
But I mean, Starbucks still sucks.
Not as bad as Trump bucks.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Anyhow, this has been Investment Corner with Kate.
There we go.
So anyhow, give us a call, 419-351-6606, or you can tweet us at Pine Tree Podcast. Check out our Facebook page, and sure enough, you can email us, congratulationspinetree@gmail.com. We are behind on our emails. If you've emailed us recently, we're going to get back to you very soon. And from the bridge
to the other bridge
to the island in between, this has been Congratulations, Pine Tree.
Verán que la vida va bien.